Well, the first question is why we have to wait so long to have you here in Spain as a trio?
Good question. Never been here, and we don't know why. I wish it was sooner, but now's a good time. We're happy to be here.
How was it working with Scotty Hart, and why did you choose him to produce your latest album?
I did a hip-hop record with him. Billy did a jazz record with him. We're like, wow, this guy's perfect. You know, he works with Teo Macero, and he does Wu-Tang Clan. It's like the perfect thing. So, and DJ Logic he did some stuff with. So we called him in on that one record we've done. This is the third one we've done with him. And each one, we've given him more and more control. Like in this dropper, we all were much more collaborative. And finally, this last record, we just let him produce it. You know, the way he kind of, you know, wanted to help, you know, wave with, you know, deferring to his vision a lot of the time with how certain songs should end up. And, you know, because he makes the hits. That's we're still waiting.
I like his sound. I like his attitude in the studio. And his sound is very hard. Scotty Hart. It's the sounds are just, they're intense. You know, it's like he brings the sound up and it's like, it's intense, more in a rock way. But, you know, but we can play free and still improvise and have this sound, which you don't get with most people who just record jazz. So I think it's a good combination of all that stuff. And he sort of gets in the moment and just will edit something or turn something up. And it's almost like he's, when he mixes, he's sort of like in the same space that we are.
Yeah.
You know?
He's a good arranger, you know? So he becomes part of the process. We make the music, then we kind of put it together, and then when the final mix has, that is also a step. And so he's like improvising a lot of the time when he mixes, and that's
so
fun.
Cool.
It makes it fun. It makes it part of. He has a good sense of aesthetic and arrangement, you know, which is nice. So
within the same album, it's I got the impression that each song has a different sound.
That's what he does. He gets, you know, but that was like kind of more of a pop way of doing the each sound, like different drum sound here. Each song is its own sound world, you know. And he's good at that. It's great.
The New York downtown scene is one of our main influence in our music as a band. No, we will know what changed in all those years since you began, and today what changed in New York.
I don't know, you can answer that question in different ways, but it's like one of the things that's changed is just the city itself. And I just remember back in the early 90s when we first got together and when we were all playing in that scene, it was a magical time in a way, because it was everybody was living, or a lot of those musicians were living in the East Village and that around that area, and that's where a lot of the clubs were that we also played at. And so it was a community, you know. You couldn't walk down the street without seeing all the people you know and other bands and hanging out and eating at the cafes and going to the clubs and seeing each other play and playing in each other's bands. And so it was a vibrant scene. And then since then, you know, the city has become more and more expensive and it's harder for the artists to live there. And so many of those same musicians and those kind of artists have left Manhattan and sort of kind of dispersed into Long Island and Brooklyn and different areas. And so it's taken, I think, a few years for the scene to kind of regroup itself in a new way in some of these places like Williamsburg and to find new places to play, new clubs to open up. So there's been a migration out of the city.
So younger generations are coming in from all over the place. I see a lot of new people coming in that want to be part of a scene that they remember hearing about, and they're creating a new one. There's like new generations. There's still some of the old people there, but a lot of the, you know, older ones have moved, you know, moved out the West Coast, some of them out to, you know, other parts of the country and have children, and they still play, they still work hard, they're still great artists, but, you know, it's definitely a lot of younger people coming in, and hopefully they're going to, you know, still be creating their own thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what the scene comes from, the energy of the place. Manhattan has changed. It doesn't quite have that energy. It's not as raw. When our mayor, Giuliani, came along, he cleaned it up, you know, and it lost a lot of like the dirt and the rawness, and that is, could still be found out in other places. So I think, you know, the scene that comes there, it comes from this, because, you know, we were the newcomers at one point, and were playing in other people's bands, like, whatever, Zorn, or I was playing with Mark Rebo, you know, who'd seen the scene in the 80s, and some people in the 70s, and they consider that the original downtown scene, and what we were doing was just some new, young kids, you know, trying to do something else. So it's all relative, you know, depending on what generation you're talking about.
You said New York kind of sold out, you know, in a way. Disney bought Times Square. Knitting Factory got bought by some big corporation, and now it's no more really what it was. So I think everything's changed, but I think the thing that hasn't changed is that New York's one of those places that for a musician, when you go there, you got to really figure out who you are musically, because let's say maybe in some other place, you might be the so-and-so of the keyboards in that town, but that so-and-so lives in New York or is there all the time. So you got to find, you know, you can't just be the guy who does the thing that somebody else does. You know, you have to find what you do, and it sort of focuses you that way. So that, I don't think that has changed, but constantly, but now with different people with different musical influences, it's the music's ever changing, but there's still this thing where people are combining different musics they love and that they really feel and coming up with some new crazy improvised music that, you know, represents that. And it's hard to even keep up with it anymore, but you know, that is the great thing about, you know, and there's all these clubs, people do it, you know, it's amazing how much people work there, musicians playing improvised, play this. I mean, I don't think it's hard to make a living, but you get to do it, like, you know, many nights a week. It's cool, and it's hard to do that, you know, other places, I think, and that's still the case in New York, but it's taken a minute for it to resurface after it sold itself off to all the corporate, you know, whatever.
As Blue Note artist, do you feel do you feel a part of that tradition of historic groove masters like Lonnie Smith, Brother Jack McDuff, or Big John Patton?
It's not our place to say and even think like that. You know, so I think as a whole, Blue Note was a different record label back then. It's, you know, it stopped for years and restarted. I love that music, listen to it a lot, but man, couldn't make a claim like that. Maybe we do a similar thing. We take groove music and try to find ways of improvising over it. But then, you know, a lot of the music is coming so steeped in a jazz tradition. I don't know. I wouldn't call our music jazz, but some people who are really into rock music, it's jazz to them, so it's hard to know. Billy, what were you going to say?
No, I was saying I don't feel a part of that at all. I don't know those guys. I don't know them. I didn't really listen to their music. But when I do listen to it, I do hear... the spirit of what they're doing is similar. You know, there's a nuance in the way they play grooves. There's a bluesiness to the way they play, and there's a freeness to the way they do it. So in that way, I relate. But, you know, it's not something that I feel we're coming from that, you know, entirely. But it's an honor to be sort of associated with that. But it's really just a fluke, or I don't know the word to use, but just a coincidence, you know. And Blue Note is not what they were then. It's not run by those two guys. It's run by other people, and the music that's on there now is so different, you know. It's like all over the place.
It is a great, the guys who run it are great. It is a really good label, I got to say, in terms of the way you get treated. I mean, you know, they just let you do what you want, and it may not work out, you know, for them financially, so you get dropped, but it's like there's no like you got to do this or that, which to me is like hard to find, especially with a label that big. They could definitely try to, you know, do what they think is going to sell, but you know, if they don't take that route, they just, you do what you do, they respect that. If it's not working, then, you know, see you later. But that's better than, I think, than trying to like force somebody to do something that isn't them in order to sell more records, which they've never.
And that's kind of in the spirit of what, you know, the old label in a sense, you know, that they respect the artists, and so they sign an artist and they're like, do your thing, make a record and express yourself, and they don't tell you what to do. So, and I respect that. And the music should sound different. Shouldn't sound like all those classic Blue Note records. It's like they're trying to represent a new era. And, you know, some of it's good, some of it's bad. You know, it's like, it's a risk. That's a bigger risk. You know, they could have just stuck to this formula of, like, we're going to do the traditional jazz thing and, like, be very categorized and easily commercial in that certain way, retro kind of thing. But I think it's good that they didn't. You know, they're taking risks.
there's not a lot of great real jazz music out there. New stuff happening. I think like they have, like Jason Moran is on Blue Note. His stuff is great. There is some good stuff out there, but it's there's not a lot, you know. But I mean, I don't know. Blue Note's I think they're a good record company, you know, in terms of like what you can look for in somebody like that. And you know, I don't know. I did play a lot. I did listen a lot to Jimmy McGriff and that music, and I played a lot of that stuff for a while. But man, that's a whole other ball game, you know.
Well, I wanted to ask you before that he was saying about any record from Blue Note right now that you could recommend us.
He had this record, Black record called Black Stars, and it's with Sam Rivers also playing on. It's great. Yeah, Sam Rivers plays it. It's Jason Moran's record. It's really one of the better. It's a great. He's great. This guy. It's a great jazz record. Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's been coming out, right? What else has come out? They have all the reissues, you know, are always good. But I'm trying to think. But I really like, yeah, I like his stuff a lot. I mean, everybody's heard Nora Jones's record by now, I'm sure. Right? Nora Jones's Blue Note record. That was their big hit. Which they deserve, you know, because again, they got behind her just because they liked her singing, you know. That's their mentality, and then they have a huge hit, you know. They kind of deserve it, you know. That's what I see. They've been trying, man, but they always go for stuff they like. Who else is on Blue Note right now?
Well, they're signing a bunch of olds, you know. Yeah. They signed Wynton Marsalis
Al Green,
and Van Morrison. They're trying to sign all these other Wynton Marsalis.
I don't know what they're doing. Who knows?
I mean, for us, we live in Spain, and the scene is not so big as in New York. We don't have that facility to find things. So why don't you recommend us some records that you're listening to in these days, or any of your influences?
There's a new record, but it's C.G. Munoz called Divine Radiance. It just came out. With Pharoah Sanders, Ravi Coltrane, Rashid Ali, a couple of bass players. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a really great record. I recommend that.
I mean, I don't know if you know this guy, Joe Maneri Trio. I mean, they keep putting out records, and Matt, and I love that, man. That stuff is great. I mean, I think you guys are hearing all the stuff that's good. I mean, you guys are hearing all the stuff that's. No, that's the problem. I mean, I think you can find out what it is. It's just harder to get it. Yeah. I've been listening to the old Dirty Bastard record again. The last one, the ODBRS, really good. That one's really good. I don't know.
You know, there's the Ethiopique series.
It's older music.
It's all this old reissued music on this label. They just call the whole series Ethiopiques. And it's like, you know, 1 through, I don't know, 20-something. Or there's a lot of them. I recommend number 4, Ethiopique's number 4.
Then you get them all.
That one's really classic. Something about it. I've listened to it over and over and over, and it's just great.
Oh, I just heard this thing. It's not out yet, but it's this piano player VJ.
Oh yeah.
Thing Scotty Hard just did. This thing. What's his name? VJ. He's played with Ornette. He's a keyboard player, and he's got a new record coming out with this a lot of poetry and spoken word. It'll be I don't know, probably out in a few months. It's great. Some really VJ Iyer. Yeah, he's East Indian. No, VJ. Yeah, he's a piano player. Exactly, he's a piano player composer. He's kind of like some new weird even hipper version of that. It's great. It's very thought out, and it's cool. It's good music.
Billy will pull out some amazing field recording of like some African musicians from Mali or something, like doing, like, you just can't believe it. You have no idea what they're doing, like, rhythmically. It's the most incredible, inspirational kind of stuff. And I think that's a big influence for us too, just like, you know, these like roots sort of field recordings of, you know, people doing really original things that maybe is only played in this one town in Africa or something, or some, you know, Brazilian roots, Brazilian music or something, or whatever, just things like that. That's a big influence for us too. And it's not that you try to copy it exactly or cover it, but you listen to it and you get inspired by it, and you maybe learn it a little bit and then create your own language with it. Do a lot of that too. And that's, you know, that's available all over the world. I think, you know, I mean, some of these websites now, you can just get everything.
What do you think about other breakthrough trios like the Bad Blues, Hurricanes, Bad Rock Trio, or Sborn Svensson Trio, you know?
I didn't know what the name. Hurricanes, I mean, I love everything he does, but he's one of the best piano players out there. I've never seen them. I heard their record, and, you know, I don't know, it's okay. I mean, I haven't. I know Ethan Iverson's a really good piano player. I've seen him do stuff that's great. It was, I don't know, it sounded like kind of classical-y, sounded like classical music, playing Nirvana songs and stuff. It was, you know, it was interesting. But Yuri Kane blows me away every time I hear him. He's just ridiculous. And who are the other bands you were saying? You know, I've heard of, I read about, he was playing in Montreal Jazz Festival. I read his thing. We didn't get to hear him. Is good?
Great. Y una cuestión, se habla mucho de la escena de Nueva York como el referente internacional, pero hay una ciudad de donde están viniendo cosas realmente interesantes y de vanguardia, como es Chicago. ¿Qué nos pueden contar un poquito sobre esa ciudad?
We usually speak about New York from, as the city where new things come from, but there's a lot of things coming from Chicago.
What do you know about Chicago?
Now it's everywhere, you know what I mean? That's the thing. It can come from anywhere, because... Yeah, absolutely. Why, of course it can. Because, you know, now with the internet, so much music is available to everybody that the scene really is about, you know, meetings of minds. And that can happen now all different ways. And, you know, there is something to physically being in a place that has a lot going on. Chicago's always been a great place. I mean, it's for years, it just hasn't been as well known because it hasn't been as easy to get stuff out. Now it's easy. People are putting out their own CDs. New Orleans has also always been a great place for music, and it still, you know, has great stuff going on. So I think, I don't know, these are the classic spots, you know, for music. I mean, AACM was one of the, you know, was one of the great. And now Chicago has the same thing. There's a parallel scene going on. You know, it's great. I mean, everywhere. Right? Where's Russell Gunn from? Atlanta? Is he, or from the South somewhere?
I thought he was from D.C. originally, but he lives in Atlanta. Yeah. But yeah, Chicago is definitely a great place. I mean, they're doing really cool stuff, a lot of contemporary, you know, rock and jazz and stuff like that. That's really Thrill Jockey label, it's amazing label, you know, it's great stuff.